Holidays bring feasting, fluffy dinner rolls, tasty stuffing, and your family's French toast bakes. With Hero Bread, indulge in your holiday favorites. Made with Hero Bread's sliced bread loaves, bagels, croissants, buttermilk biscuits, and more. And don't forget their Hero Hawaiian rolls. With 4 grams of protein and 0 grams net carbs. Hero Bread has you covered with 0 to 5 grams net carb and higher fiber options. So your holidays stay delicious and balanced. Like their 3 grams net carb pan of chocolate. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains up to 17 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Football on Off the Ball.
This might just be modern media, but it feels to me that Arsenal, maybe it's because they haven't won the league for 21 years, but it feels like they get into the running far too early. And maybe that's our fault in the media as well.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Right then, Allianz are the title sponsor of the Olympic Federation of Ireland and Paralympics Ireland, and today they've announced the extension of its brand ambassador partnership with record-breaking Irish sprinter Rashida Adeleke, who will be supporting the Dare to Believe Olympic Schools programme. And I'm delighted to say that Rashida has joined us in studio. How are you doing, Rashida?
Good.
Welcome home.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
This is a very busy time in your life. You literally fly back in from Texas yesterday. Yeah. You get back to your primary school this morning. Talk to us about the last 24 hours.
Yeah, it's been a bit hectic. So yeah, got in yesterday, went straight to the Institute from the airport, you know, done my shakeout, some running reps and then treatment. Went to another appointment, got home. Then this morning, went to my primary school. So nostalgic, honestly. But it was a lot of energy, which I definitely appreciate. And yeah, it's unreal.
Do you have time to give your mom a hug at all by the time you get home?
Yeah, quick one. Quick hug. Yeah. Here and there.
Going back to your school this morning, I presume you've been back since this athletics journey has exploded for you over the last number of years, right? This isn't the first time you've
gone
back.
So I went back last year after the Olympics. But last year was my first time going back in years. Probably since I had been there, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's that reception like? It must be unbelievably special.
It's unreal. And I think just kind of being in that atmosphere again, somewhere that I was for years, and kind of having that full circle moment, because I was once in your shoes, just like all the other students, like going to assemblies, going to class, yard time, all of that. And now like my life has changed like dramatically since then. So that's why I love the whole like campaign with Allianz, the drop top, because like that's everything that I embody, and it's what has got me to where I am now. So it's really important.
It's definitely, every time we've spoken to you, it seemed like something that's really important to you, about seeing the next generation being inspired by you. And I presume it's something that is unbelievably positive, but it's also something that when you're training, you kind of need to remove yourself from Ireland a little bit just to kind of focus on you. Yeah. And then when you come back to Ireland, it's like, wow, everybody here absolutely loves me.
Yeah. No, but I think being in Austin, Texas kind of allows for that. I'm like in a little bubble, so I can really focus on my craft, train day in, day out. I don't get like too thrown off by anything because, as I said, it's like a little bubble and allows me to be like really efficient. But when I do come home, it's so nice to be so well received and see everyone, and everyone is just so happy to see me. And like, yeah, it just feels so different, but I love it and I really appreciate it, because this is a huge reason of why I do it, to be inspiring to people and kind of give them that essential feeling that if she's here, she grew up in the same town as I did, we went to the same school, if she can do it, I can do it. And yeah, that's really the whole essence of my being.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's an unbelievably powerful thing.
Yeah.
Like, is it as powerful as any other motivation? Like, I know there's probably a bit of recency bias here. We're speaking in a couple of hours after you've just been at the school.
Yeah.
So your heart is full right now, but I presume it gives you motivation just as much as the idea of winning at the next championships next year do.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think what has got me to this point is just my like natural competitive nature.
Yeah.
I've always been competitive, even in like card games.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, Rashid, it's just a game. Yeah, but I need to win. But yeah, I'm just very, very competitive. So that's definitely what has like inspired me to get to this point. But I think there's also those pockets of inspiration that I grasp from different areas, like my family, my friends, like the people who support me, the people who invest, like everyone inspires me to be better and they all invest in me to be better. So yeah, it's kind of inspiration from everywhere, really.
Yeah. You've had the opportunity to do some really cool things over the past few months. I'm going to go ahead and say the coolest thing that you've had the opportunity to do is sit on the Traitors after show, Traitors Uncloaked. Yeah. You were there we're big Traitors fans on the show. We had Vanessa from the Traitors on the show a couple of weeks ago talking about her football career. And I think you were there on some particularly dramatic night as well. You were right in the middle of like a dramatic exit.
Yeah. It was right before... I think it was right before the last episode.
Right.
So yeah, it was a great time to be there. And I'm a huge Traitors fan. I've watched all the Traitors, the American one, the celebrities one, like I've watched most of them. And yeah, when I got invited on, I was like, oh yeah, I'm definitely going on. And to be on such like high climactic episode was unreal. And like seeing it all unfold, because I guess I got to watch it before everyone else got to see it. So I had to like keep my like what happened? Like, I don't know. But that was really cool.
We need an Irish celebrity traitor. It's just like the BBC. And you need to get in there.
No, I definitely would though.
Would you be a faithful or a traitor? It wouldn't be up to you, obviously.
I think I'd want to be a traitor just for the plot. But I think I would be better as a faithful because I think people can tell when I lie.
Okay, really?
I'm not a great liar.
Not a great liar.
No. So I think I'd give it away. Like, even if it wasn't anything I said, but my whole, like, persona would change if I found out I was a traitor.
Yeah, but maybe you haven't actually had the capacity to find it out about yourself just
yet.
I think a lot of people go in there and they're like, I didn't realise I was such a conniving liar. Yeah.
I think since there's, like, no real consequences, it's, like, okay, like... You know, morally, it's okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You can be a bit more like snarky and like.
For sure.
Yeah.
Did you watch the celebrity one in the BBC this year as well then?
I haven't yet. Right. I actually just started it last week.
Okay. No spoilers on that one then. So.
Yeah, no spoilers.
I heard it was very, very good.
Really? Okay.
So talk to us about this little period in your life then. Mm-hmm. So we're talking on the 12th of December. You're not going to be here for Christmas. The grind never stops. So,
no.
So talk to us about the plans for the next few weeks.
Yeah, so going to head back to Austin, get back into our training. I think from when we get back from Christmas break to maybe the third week in January, we have like Camp Flow, which is when we have really gruesome training.
Okay.
So he takes it up 10 notches. And yeah, like I think every day is going to be like a two a day. So we're going to have like practice twice a day on most days or something twice a day. And that's going to be kind of what tails us into maybe a couple of indoor races. I don't have my competition schedule planned out yet, but probably hope to do some indoor races. And then like the big ones next year for outdoors would be European Championships in Birmingham. Those are in August. So hopefully there's a lot of like Irish supporters out there.
Yeah.
And then we have the Ultimate Games in Budapest.
Is that the first time?
It's the first time. And I think they didn't want to have like a World Championships officially every year.
Yeah.
So they broke it up and now they have this new championship, which is essentially like a World Championship. You have all the world's best, but not everybody can go. So I think it's only the top 16 in the world, maybe.
Okay, right.
So you have to like qualify as you always have to, but this time it's just way more cutthroat. And I think it's more so you're fending for a prize pot and it's not really like world champion, like first place, second place, third place. I think you're just trying to win the money essentially.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Camp Flow, you've gone through this before, obviously.
Yeah.
What was your last Camp Flow like?
Not fun.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's hard. It's really hard, but I think it's just how well prepared you are for it.
Okay.
I think coming back from Christmas break, a lot of the collegiates take like the 3 weeks off and you go home or 2 weeks and some of them aren't training. So they make it look a lot harder than it is because in athletics, you lose your fitness pretty quickly. So if you weren't training and you're sitting down eating lots of food over Christmas break and you weren't moving about, you're definitely going to feel it when you get into Camp Flow. But I think because I usually am in Austin training up until Camp Flow, I have a more seamless transition into the training. So it's pretty bad, but I think it looks worse for some other people.
100%. Like, I mean, if anybody's listening to this and thinking, God, poor Rashida, she's sacrificing the build-up to Christmas, you're thinking, not a chance.
Yeah, I need to prepare myself for Camp Flow. So, yeah.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Can you give us a sample schedule on a day of camp flow? Like, how brutal are we talking here?
Yeah, so an example could be we'll have something in the morning.
Okay.
So let's say we had like a bike session or some like active mobility that will like get your legs burning. And then you come back and then we do like your actual like running session. And it could be like 10 reps of 300s or like 1 minute recovery, like something like that. Yeah,
nice.
It's a lot like fast. Like, yeah. It's like, it's hardcore.
Yeah. Because I guess it has been said that training under Coach Flo has been pretty hardcore anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So he just brings it up a whole other level again. So how much more is that compared to, say, a regular preseason training day with Flo?
Well, preseason is not nice either, to be honest. I think when we first start off, so we started in like the end of October this year, and you start off with stadiums. So stadiums is like when you run up and down the steps.
Okay,
Like in a film.
That is real. That is legit. I've heard people say that. Real training.
And we do like three sets of that, but the whole stand, like you run up and down different drills, like lunges, like hops, everything. And like that will be the death of me, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It's really bad. And then, so you do like a set of stadiums, then you go into like wicket runs, like back and forth, no recovery. Like you run, you get there, maybe 10 seconds, you go back. I would do that like 10 times. And then we do back to the stadiums, back to the wicket runs, back to the stadiums. Yeah. And that would like be probably one of the main components of our fall training for the first. So that block will be about 6 weeks. And then we move on to track for 6 weeks.
And that's when it gets easier?
No, it's different. It's a different type of difficult. So then we'll move on to the track side, and that's when because in the first 6 weeks, we don't really run on the track. We do like a lot of field runs, a lot of conditioning. Then we move on to the track, as I said, for those 6 weeks. And then now we're doing like the real intense sessions, like 150s, 200s, 300s, 400s. Reps, and everything is timed. Every 100 is timed. You have to hit a certain mark for every single rep. Short recovery, yeah. So that is kind of what it leads into. And then we'll be on a track for the rest of the year then.
How is your tolerance for that sort of stuff now compared to 2 or 3 years ago? Like, because you obviously make the step up to 400, is that still something you have to deal with, or actually it's grand now? It's hard for everybody. It's just as hard for you as it is for anybody who's been running 400 as their primary race their entire lives.
I don't think so. I think it depends on what type of session it is.
Right.
If it's like a more sprint-based session, I usually like flourish at those because I'm more speed-based in general.
Okay.
But if it's a longer session, like 600s and stuff, that's where you see the athletes who are more endurance-based, the 400 athletes who are more endurance-based, thrive at those because it's just longer in general. So I would find those a bit more difficult, but I guess everyone has their weaknesses and their strengths, so that would probably be one of my more weaknesses, but it's still hard nonetheless. I think the whole point of it is that it's not supposed to be easy, and if it is easy, then you're not really gaining that much from it.
Of course.
So I've really taken it into my stride. I'm like, this is what it takes to be the best. This is what it takes to be at this level. If I'm not doing it, my competitors are. So it's just, this is just what it is. The life I chose.
Another great motivating factor. Thinking about what your competitors are doing.
Yeah.
It's what a lot of boxers tell us. It's a little bit more visceral and a bit more face to face. But they say that there's somebody somewhere training to punch my head in right now. So that really motivates me. Yeah. Like, it's absolutely the same for athletics.
Yeah, I think so. I think, well, naturally, I'm not really one of the athletes that necessarily think or compare myself to other athletes. I think when I was younger, I did that a bit more.
Okay.
But as I grew older, I realized I had more experience than I, from being in Texas, being around different professional athletes at different levels. Like, you just learn that it's best to focus on yourself because everyone is so different.
Yes.
And someone can take off 2 weeks without training and PR, like, after, like, 3 weeks, whereas someone could take off a week of training and, like, their whole season is ruined. So everyone is really, really different. And I think that's why I really try not to compare myself. But when it comes to like just working hard and like being really efficient and intentional with everything I do, I try to make sure like that's the pinnacle of what like goes on during my day.
Is that bulletproof, that feeling?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, but I think even if I wasn't an athlete, that would be really important for me, just being intentional and planning and organising. So like one thing that I've definitely taken on from last year, because last year was my first year I didn't have school.
Yes.
I graduated in 2024, Olympic year, but I was still in school even though I wasn't on the team. So 2025 was my first year being a full professional athlete. And I really learned how important structure is, because that was something that school gave me nonetheless. And I didn't have that as much last year. So going forward, like since fall, every single part of my day is planned out from the time I wake up, the time I have my snacks, what meals I'm going to have for lunch, breakfast, lunch and dinner, like what time I'm going to put my laundry away, what time, like every single part of my day is planned out. And I think it really helps me be like my most efficient self.
Okay. When you look back on 2025, I mean, we come to the end of the year and mm-hmm. Spotify Wrapped us out last year, last week. When you look back at Rashida Wrapped for 2025, granted, you're not just an athlete, so I'm not sure if that's 80% of the pie chart for you. Maybe it's only 50% of the pie chart when you look back on this year. Yeah. But what are the things that come to mind when you reflect on 2025? Was it a good year or was it a tough year?
It was hard, especially when it was during the season. And it was just like one thing after the other. And I just couldn't seem, my body was like giving up on me almost. Like it was like breaking down. I think also we trained like significantly harder than we did last year. I think that also was detrimental because you're supposed to like increase gradually, but we went from like here to here in one season. And yeah, my body just kept breaking down. And like it'd be like, if it wasn't my hamstring, it'd be my hip and then it'd be my back. And it's always something. And it was really hard, but I learned so much from 2025. I learned the things are going to help me be successful going forward, what I want to implement. But I also got to experience a lot of things that I wouldn't have been able to do if I was running for the rest of the season. So I got to do like a lot of like normal things. Like I went to my first festival ever.
Which one?
APE in London. Okay. I went with Nike, but it was my first ever festival. And I was like, it's crazy that it's my first one, because I guess when I would have went in like school to like Longitude or like Electric Picnic,
yeah.
It was always the weekend of like a competition or had training. Right. So I never went. So it was like, it's really weird that I'm now 22 doing like these things people have been doing since they were like 15.
Yeah, yeah.
But like things like that, just being able to experience life from a different perspective, it was really cool. And I want to also know that in 2026 and like going forward, it's really important to have that balance, because I feel like in 25 or after the Olympics that season, I was in that mindset of, okay, gotta go, like block out everything. If it doesn't help me, I don't want to do it. Like come home from training, like don't talk to anybody, recovery boots, food, you know what I mean? And it's just too much. And it made me realize that I really need a balance. I need to have good people in my life. I need to have outlets, like different things that I do to kind of get out of that track mind all the time. So yeah, I learned a lot of things. So I say it was a good year for that reason. Track wise, it was hard.
Of course.
But I got to do a bunch of things that, as I said, I wouldn't have been able to do.
The training going from here to here.
Yeah.
In hindsight, was that a mistake or is this part of the
journey?
Yeah,
we look at it as a mistake.
Okay.
But if we didn't do it, we wouldn't have known.
Okay.
So sometimes you have to learn and we realise like my body just couldn't handle it.
Bend and, till you break almost?
Literally, every week it'd be something new, which I'd never had before because I've luckily touched wood, whatever it is.
There's some right here.
I was just never someone who was like really injury prone. So to have everything back to back and not being able to get into a consistent training cycle, it just showed that it was too much of a leap. So we learned. And in life, as long as you learn something from it, you know, you just can't dwell on it too much. And yeah, just moving forward and making sure that we're prioritising health over everything.
Yeah, okay. And that's the consequence, the positive consequence of this year. I presume as well with something like that, you don't realise that you've gone too far until it's too late.
Yeah. It was too late. It was way too late when I realised. Because when I was in the training, I was like thinking, this is really, really hard. Because you have your levels of hard. You know, you're supposed to be tired, you're supposed to be fatigued. But it was an insane level of difficulty. And I was just thinking in my head, this is what it takes. This is what it's going to take to be the best in the world. So I was ready to do it. Like if Flo was like, do this today, this is a session. I would look at the session and be like, oh my God. But I'm doing it because I want to be the best in the world. And I did everything. And it just didn't work out. And my body said no. As I said, like every single time there was an issue. And yeah, we just learn from it and we move forward.
And are you feeling pain in those sessions or is it more kind of like fatigue a few days down the line and when you go out to do another session, you're just feeling tired?
Yeah, feeling tired, but also as I kept having niggles. So I wasn't able to be even as efficient in the sessions as well because my hamstring was really sore. And I think I got two or three hamstring strains this season, which never would happen. So yeah, and then my knee and then my hip flexor was probably about for another 2 months. I just couldn't train really that well. So it was definitely a very different year for me, very hard, but like I said, you live and you learn.
Yeah, I guess you got that red line now, you know exactly where you can push it to.
So we sat down, we spoke about it for a really long time and like a lot of coaches wouldn't do this, but he was like, this was on me.
Really?
Yeah, because...
Fair play.
Yeah, fair play. Honestly, fair play. He was like, this is on me. We were trying to go from here to here, which my whole life and my whole career, we've been growing gradually, even throughout college, gradually. But that huge jump was just too much. And like, he realized that again, it was too late, but we just kind of had to roll with it, really. But we spoke about it and like we got onto the same page and he was like, these are the changes that I'm going to make. And yeah.
Was that a difficult conversation for you, Rashida? Because the relationship there, I'd assume for the majority of the time you've known each other is him saying to you, I need more from you. I need better from you. Whereas on this case, was it more, I actually need better from you, coach?
Yeah, pretty much. And it was a learning experience for both of us.
Yeah.
I think... for me, I'm an athlete where if it hurts, I'm still going to do it, which is necessarily isn't the best thing to do. And I definitely learned from that too. But if I can run, I'm going to do the session, even if it hurts. And I think now we have a lot of communication. So if I have a session now and I'm like, and something hurts, or I don't feel something, I feel some sort of discomfort, he'll instantly say, stop. Which has barely happened actually this whole season, but he would say stop, get on the bike or do something else. So like we just have really good communication, which we've always had, but this year just helped us identify different things.
It also perfectly explains why there was kind of a sense of unknowing around your injury during the summer, that you were constantly pushing the boat out.
Because it was something else every time.
And you didn't know.
No.
You didn't know what the situation was going to be with Worlds. I presume it was very much until very late in the day, I am running at this. This is just part of the growth.
Yeah, I was supposed to run at Worlds and then I got a hamstring strain probably about 3 weeks beforehand. And I just wouldn't... that was my third one of the year. And it just wouldn't have worked because... it would probably take me about 2.5 weeks to even start running again. And we just didn't have any more time. And we both realised that my body just needed to rest. If I kept getting so many different injuries, your body is tired. Your body is like telling you that it needs to rest, and you just had to listen to it.
Can I ask then, how did you feel when there was a bit of blowback to the whole situation? Like Sonny O'Sullivan writing in the Irish Times, Coach Flo was pretty succinct with Carl Dennehy, like, she's injured, that's it, yeah, he's out. How did it make you feel that the way in which you were communicating the information or potentially level of honesty was being questioned?
I think because I'm naturally a bit more of a private person, I don't, you know, over explain myself in everything that I do. And I communicate that I was injured and I thought that would be enough. And it was enough for a lot of people, which I definitely appreciate. But yeah, seeing the blowback was, it was kind of interesting because I hadn't really seen it happen to any other athletes. Correct me if I'm wrong. So yeah, I just said, you know what, this is what comes with the territory. People are going to always have stuff to say and you just kind of go with it, really.
Yeah. Do you, like, who do you talk to at that moment? Is it just you and the coach? Do you, like, I don't know, sometimes we kind of associate some of our best athletes as on the same level as us as human beings. If that was me, that would be, I would not take that very well.
Yeah.
Maybe you would because you've got that high performance mindset.
Yeah.
Like, was it easy to deal with, or did it take a bit of time to actually, you know, have conversations with your friends, with your team,
yeah,
to actually get through this? Because it was a pretty public thing.
It was. And so many people from like different countries like brought it to me.
Really?
Yeah. Like people like all over the world, like I'd see, or they would text me and be like, oh my God, I seen this. This is like kind of going viral. I seen this. This is not like what's going on here. And honestly, I just tried to ignore it.
Okay.
People were very angry on my behalf though. So I let them. I let them do the talking, to be honest. But yeah, no, as I said, like these things happen. It's not the first, probably won't be the last. And people are going to have things to say. Sometimes they're not nice and you just have to go. That's my mindset. That's how always kind of how I've been. Like, it's unfortunate, but there's not really much I can do. They're going to say what they want to say, you know?
Fair play. That's a pretty incredible mindset, I'm sure. Yeah. It's it sounds so easy to hear that, but if somebody's in your position and they kind of see the blowback they get, not just from high-level former athletes, but also from anonymous people online, it's it's not the easiest thing. So, Rashida wrapped, good year, and the track is going to benefit a lot from what actually happened on the track this year, it seems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or what didn't happen on the track, more to the point.
Yeah, I think even just as a, like, beyond track, but even as a person, as I said, like the lessons that I learned this year have shaped me and, you know, I guess improved me and improved my quality of life. So nonetheless, I came out of it a better person, learned a lot more, and hopefully we'll see like good results from what happened in 2026.
I'm sure that's absolutely imminent. What's the Christmas Day plan then? Like, do you have to like start carb loading for Camp Flow?
So Christmas Day, I'd probably go to my coach's house.
Okay.
He has a couple of us over who I guess didn't go home or aren't home. And yeah, probably just chill, go there for a couple hours, not eat too much because gotta make sure that I'm ready for that.
Are you out the next day then?
The next day.
That's day one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, the next day, you know, people are, so day one will probably be when everyone gets back.
Okay, so January.
Which will be like January 2nd.
Okay.
Or something like that, yeah.
But there'll be something on Stephen's Day.
Oh yeah, we'll have training. We'll still train up until then.
Right.
But the real deal starts, yeah. So just pray for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's way too early to say happy Christmas, but I hope you do
have a
great Christmas,
you
Rashida.
Yeah.
Great to have you in studio. And very best of luck for 2026 as well. I'm sure we won't be speaking before then. Mm-hmm. Just a reminder as well that Allianz are title sponsors of the Olympic Federation of Ireland and Paralympics Ireland. And today they've been announcing the extension of its brand ambassador partnership with record-breaking Irish sprinter Rashida Adeleke. And she's going to be supporting the Dare to Believe Olympic Schools programme. And you have been listening to Rashida over the last little while. Thanks a million for popping in.
Thank you.
Off the Ball Daily.